This is the 21st Show. I'm Reginald Hardwick, sitting in for Brian Mackey. After a week at the State Fair, we're back to our regular routine, so it's time for our Friday Politics Roundtable. We'll have the latest on what happened at the State Fair's political days from the Chicago Tribune's Rick Pearson in a bit. But first, on the national level, former President Donald Trump was indicted this week over his efforts to overturn his 2020 presidential election loss in Georgia. We asked our texting group about this, and plenty of you had thoughts to share. Steve in Charleston told us, up until the Trump and Trump-like crooks, I was happy conservative Repub. My farm hats are green, and my politics are not red anymore. And Jenny in Champaign said, we need to protect our democracy at all costs, and that includes pursuing criminal charges against people who broke the law trying to subvert it, no matter how important they are. We don't have time to read everyone's responses, but we thank you to everyone who responded. For now, as always, here to help us make sense of what's happening, Linda Kenyon. She covers Washington politics and our home state congressional delegation for Illinois Public Media. And listeners, you should know Linda had a conflict with our live program this week, so I spoke with her earlier this morning. Linda, welcome back to the 21st.
Oh, thank you, Reginald. Glad to be here.
And Linda, this is the fourth criminal case brought against the former president. First of all, what are some of the common threads between this and the previous cases?
Well, there are some commonalities and some stark differences. There are, of course, the cases involving hush money in New York, the case in Florida regarding classified documents, the case in Washington, D.C. regarding the January 6th insurrection and the efforts to overturn the election on the national stage. And now we have the Georgia election interference case. Now, what's similar about all of them? Well, they all have to do with efforts on the part of the former president to allegedly overturn the results of the 2020 election and remain in office. But some of these are state cases, some of these are federal cases. And that means that if the former president is reelected to become president of the United States, as you all know, he is running again right now, some of these cases can be dismissed by a sitting president. He might be able to, in effect, pardon himself, but not state cases. Those state cases would stick. And in this case, for example, it would be the New York hush money case that would stick, and of course, the Georgia election interference case. And this election interference case in Georgia is a wide-ranging case, which was brought under the RICO statute, which is the Racketeering and Corrupt Organizations Act. And there are so many co-defendants named in this case, alleged co-conspirators, I should say, unindicted co-conspirators. And this case could go on for quite some time, but I will tell you that Fani Willis, the district attorney in Georgia, has been investigating this case very carefully for more than 2 years now, and she definitely did her homework on this and is known as a RICO expert. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this case plays out in court.
There's 18 co-defendants listed in the Georgia indictment. Very interesting here in Illinois that two of them have Chicago connections. What can you tell me about them and what they've been charged with?
Yeah, the two Chicago area people who are connected to this case, who are alleged co-conspirators, are Orland Park ministers Stephen Clifgard Lee and Chicago lobbyist Trevian Cooty. I hope I've said her name properly. If not, I beg apologies. She is a former Old Town resident and once a publicist for disgraced R&B singer R. Kelly and also rapper Kanye West. R. Kelly is serving a lot of prison time right now on various charges. And Lee has been very active in Trump circles. He's a pastor at the Living Word Lutheran Church, very active in campaigns for Trump-backed candidates and for Trump himself. Now, both Lee and Cooty are accused of attempting to convince Fulton County election worker Ruby Freeman and her daughter, Shay Moss, of trying to convince them to confess to election fraud. They were a very interesting women who came to Capitol Hill during the January 6th hearings to discuss how they were harassed, publicly called out by former President Trump himself, a very emotional testimony the two of them gave about the threats against them because of these allegations that they somehow were involved in election fraud in Georgia. And of course, none of that had played out. But it was one of the milestones of the January 6th hearings. And so they are featuring very prominently as people who are in this Georgia election interference case, and according to every possible legal challenge, have done absolutely nothing wrong, but felt that they were targeted by the president of the United States. So Lee and Kuti have maintained their innocence. And we will see how this plays out, but it's very interesting how this Georgia election interference case spreads so far and wide that it even includes people from Chicago.
What happens next with this particular indictment?
Well, they're now trying to set a court date. And a motion filed by the district attorney, Fani Willis, is urging a March 4th trial start date. Now, it's going to be very, very hard to pin down a proper time for the hearing, for discoveries, for the actual playing out of the case, because the president, the former president, faces a lot of other cases as well. And also he's running for the White House again. So this could conflict right now if they keep moving the pieces along on the chessboard. But his case in the New York hush money case is supposed to go on trial on March 25th. The classified documents case in Florida is supposed to go on trial on May 20th. And the special counsel Jack Smith's case over the 2020 election interference in Washington, D.C., well, a trial date on that has not yet been set. And Smith is trying to find a court date that would work. Now, it will be up to the former president and his attorneys to come up with their strategy. And so far, it has been a strategy of delay, that the attorneys feel that it is best in their interest to delay as much as possible, hopefully past, in their view, the 2024 election. And what does that mean? Well, that means if Donald Trump is elected as president of the United States again, all those cases would be on hold, because there has already been an established legal precedent that basically says you cannot touch a sitting president.
We know a lot of our friends listening to this in Iowa and the Quad Cities are already seeing presidential campaign commercials. We have to wonder what this all means for the primary contest coming up with the Iowa caucuses.
Yeah, and a lot of the debate right now is over the debates, whether the former president will show up on the debate stage, especially given the most recent indictments regarding the Georgia election interference case. But yes, all eyes have been on the Midwest, because the Midwest is really one of the major starting points of the election primary season. And of course, the debates will be closely watched, mostly to see if Donald Trump will show up. And right now, he has said that he has no reason to show up for at least the first debate. And he may change his mind, but he felt that, you know, if he is the perceived front runner in the GOP presidential nomination race, he has no need to show up. So we will see.
We will see. Linda Kenyon covers Washington politics for Illinois Public Media. Linda, thank you as always for your time, and have a great weekend.
Thank you, Reginald. Thank you very much.
And if you're just joining us, this is The 21st Show. I'm Reginald Hardwick, and we're back live now. We're going to turn our attention to state politics. In the last few days at the Illinois State Fair, we have shined the spotlight on the state's political parties, and Wednesday was Governor's Day. And J.B. Pritzker did not pull punches in talking about Republicans.
Republicans think that if they lie about something often enough, if they deny the truth long enough, maybe we will start to believe their lies. The problem is this. Here in Illinois, we have a low tolerance for bullshit.
Yesterday was Republican Day, where the focus was on rebuilding the party after several major defeats last year. Illinois Republican Party Chairman Don Tracy said the party needs to embrace things like mail-in voting.
We will be working hard to bank as many pre-election day votes as possible next year, because the political party that votes for weeks and months will mathematically beat the party that only votes for one day.
So let's talk all about all of this with Rick Pearson, who covers politics for the Chicago Tribune. Rick, how has the state fair been?
I will tell you, this is like my 35th one, and it's the best weather ever. So from that standpoint, it's been very good. But, you know, here we are in between elections. And so we have these political days that, coming off last year's state elections, the Democratic dominance in Illinois and those elections, now we look ahead to the presidential year. So this is kind of a time where you take a look at both parties and see kind of what these early strategies are going to be as we go into 2024.
We just heard a little bit from Governor Pritzker a few seconds ago. You know, was he taking just major victory lap? You know, how did his rhetoric fit into the bigger picture of the day?
Oh, it definitely was part victory lap. And also, given the state's progressive moves and Pritzker being somewhat of a semi-national figure, and of course the speculation that, you know, he's a placeholder in case Joe Biden doesn't run, which of course he denies that there's anything to that. But it was definitely a Pritzker event, and basically touting the victories, touting defeats of some of the more far-right Republican forces that have tried to put Republicans back in control of the state.
We just talked about the latest Trump indictment, and as you pointed out in your story for the Tribune, President Biden has kept pretty quiet on Trump's legal troubles, but Pritzker, U.S. Senator Dick Durbin, and other elected officials at the fair went the opposite direction. What did you hear?
Well, then that's why I thought it was kind of curious, because I was curious if they were going to play by the White House playbook, and obviously they chose not to, and that they're dead set on making as the agenda for 2024 and supporting Biden and Democrats for Congress and the state legislature and lower offices. They're dead set to make a Trump referenda, even if Trump does not become the nominee, but make it a Trump referenda based on protecting democracy, in their words, and also using with that the issue of abortion rights, and noting how powerful that was in driving Democratic turnout, Democratic successes, particularly in the Chicago suburbs that used to be the rich Republican collar counties that have become more and more blue, and those moderate suburban women moving from the Republican camp over to the Democratic camp. Abortion rights certainly going to continue to be a big issue pressed in Illinois by one of the biggest supporters nationally, J.B. Pritzker.
Meanwhile, at Republican Day, it seems like they wanted to keep the focus off Trump. What did you hear?
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting when, you know, things about Donald Trump are so dominant in any conversation when it comes to politics. And it was kind of interesting watching most of these leading Republicans trying to sidestep or change the subject, or you try to do bring up Hunter Biden and his legal problems. They don't want to talk about Trump. And they know that in a state where Donald Trump has lost two elections by 17 percentage points, that Donald Trump could definitely be a drag on the ticket if he gets the Republican nomination. He could be a drag on Republicans in lower ballot offices because politics are so nationalized. Republicans in Illinois, particularly those for state legislative seats where Democrats have super majorities in the Illinois House and Senate, those Republican leaders want to denationalize that conversation. Terry McCombie, the House Republican leader, said, "Why do we have to talk about Trump? Why aren't we talking about Illinois?" It's a nice idea. I'm just not sure that strategy is one that can be successful.
We just had the soundbite with Don Tracy, and some Republican rally goers embraced vote by mail strategies. And I'm old enough to remember that former president repeatedly cited, you know, vote by mail issues and debunked voter fraud claims. Was that surprising to hear from, you know, a veteran political reporter like yourself?
Well, actually, this has been a strategy that Tracy has been trying to embrace dating back to the gubernatorial election last year, of trying to encourage Republicans to vote by mail. Even Darren Bailey, the unsuccessful Republican nominee, was pushing for people to vote by mail, in direct contrast to the warnings that Donald Trump repeatedly delivered. Republicans knew then that when it came to vote by mail, Democrats were going to trounce them on that. And Democrats for years have had a very extensive and successful early voting, vote by mail, get out the vote effort. So Republicans nationally, and Trump has even signed off on this, have endorsed a program called Bank the Vote. And they're asking Republicans nationwide, not just in Illinois, to pledge that they will cast an early vote, a vote by mail, or show up early at the polls, in contrast to all of the rhetoric that we heard 2 years prior.
We've got about 30 seconds left. You know, broadly, you know, as far as rebuilding the Republican Party, anything else that really stood out to you?
It's just going to be very difficult. I mean, I mentioned abortion rights, and Republicans in their party platform are opposed to abortion. And their argument is that we need to paint Democrats as extremists on the issue. I'm not sure people are going to look at it. I mean, everybody looks at politics as, you know, black or white issues, and it's either pro-choice or pro-life. And I think that's how most voters look. In Illinois, most voters are pro-choice.
Well, Rick Pearson with the Chicago Tribune, thank you for joining us on this Friday for our Politics Roundup.
Thank you, Reginald.
And you can't attend a wedding without dancing the cha-cha slide. We'll remember the Illinois man behind that dance craze and how it got started next on The 21st Show.